Good morning, Rabotai. We are starting Sefer Bereshit. Besimana Tava. We are starting the Sefer Torah again from the beginning. We just had a great holiday of Simchat Torah. I hope everybody here enjoyed the Simchat Torah and celebrated the way many of us over here, Baruch Hashem, we were able to enjoy dancing with the Torah and dancing with each other and celebrating the siyum of another year that Hashem gave us. And not only that we were able to breathe with our physical body, but we were able to breathe spiritually. We had a year that was infused with Torah. And we're very thankful for that as part of the Simchat Torah. The people who are happiest in Simchat Torah are the people who felt the most connected to the Torah through their time invested in learning and through their connection to the mitzvot of the Torah. Once we start something, it is a great opportunity to go over some of the basic principles of whatever it is that you're starting. Not always do we have opportunities to restart something. But when we do, it's a very big gift. When we start the Torah, we take a few minutes to understand what it is actually that we are trying to accomplish when we sit here and learn Torah. What is it that we are trying to achieve when we ask guidance of the Torah? When we fulfill mitzvot? What are we doing? And what is supposed to be our perspective? You know, for so many people who grew up in a Jewish home, believe it or not, it's such an obvious thing for them to have a connection to Judaism and to the Torah that they don't take even a minute to think about it, why they do what they do. In a way that is beautiful, that they grew up in such a community, in such a home, but in a way it's very sad, because ultimately the human could only appreciate who they are and what they do when they understand why they are and why they do. And it's very important for a person to reflect about why it is that we do what we do. You know, if you would have ever met a Baal Teshuvah, a secular Jew who grew up without the privilege that many of us grew up with, grew up in a secular home that didn't know even Shema Yisrael, and had no connection, not to Pesach, and not to Simchat Torah, and not to Rosh Hashanah, and not a real connection to Yom Kippur either. If they would actually come back, as so many hundreds of thousands of Jews have in the last 50 years, they would be able to figure out so many things that most of us never ask. If you would sit down with them and say, well, why do you do what you do? It would almost be like a joke for them to answer you. It's obvious. I do what I do because. Why do you learn? Oh, I learn because. Why do you keep mitzvot? Because. All these questions had to have been answered for them, in order for them to find their rich life. But unfortunately, sometimes when you're born rich, you don't appreciate your wealth. People who are born with poverty and they made some money, they understand the value of that money. Their children may not appreciate the wealth may not feel the happiness of the accomplishment of that same money. And the same it is with Judaism. For those who have grown up in a religious home, a God-fearing home, in a religious community, who were going to shul from the time they were 3 years old, very often that wealth translates into poverty in appreciation. And in the spiritual world, it's not merely about not enjoying it. It's not really accomplishing much. So it's a worthwhile endeavor for us, for a few minutes at least, to put everything into perspective. Why we do what we do. And hopefully that not only will bring us extra feeling in what we do, but maybe will even inspire us to do even more. Because usually, when we become more aware, we appreciate more of what we should be doing. The Torah tells us in this week's parasha, when Adam was created, it gives us a very important introduction to this human called Adam. There were animals that were created. Many kinds. And one, when they see Adam, might confuse him with just another animal. I mean, we are like animals. We move like animals. We see like animals. We hear like animals. We eat like animals. We procreate like animals. So in many ways, one would look at a human and say, well, he's just another kind of animal. Maybe he's an upgrade one. Maybe he does more things. But animals also, from one to another, have different capabilities that others don't. Fish can swim. Elephants can't. It's also an advantage. So one might look at a human being and say, well, he's a kind of an animal. He walks and talks. Even animals communicate. You ever see birds flying? They have a certain lingo. There's a certain way of communication. While we communicate with words, maybe they have other ways of communication. And here the Torah says, comes the Torah and says, Vayomer Elohim. Hashem says, Naaseh Adam. Let us make man. Betzalmenu, in our image. Kidmutenu. That is like us. Hashem made Adam with specific description. That unlike all other animals, we are created in the image of God. And we are like God. But what exactly does that mean, that we're like God? It doesn't really add much. It just makes us feel like we're better. But in what way are we like God? What does that mean? Says Rashi Alav HaShalom, probably one of the most important two words in the entire Torah, at least in Rashi.
Yes,
says Rashi, what does it mean, Kidmutenu, that this Adam, this human, is like me? What does that mean? In what way are we like Hashem? Says Rashi, Lehavin ulhaskil. Lehavin means we're capable of understanding. That means a person Tuesday morning woke up, he doesn't know something. He has a brain, but doesn't know certain information, someone teaches it to him, he learns it from somewhere, lehavin. So, I understand it now. Yesterday, I didn't understand. Today, I understand. Ul haskil. Lehaskil doesn't just mean he has a brain. Sechel. Sechel means we have a brain. But it doesn't just merely mean we have a brain. Lehaskil means that we have the capability of leading our lives through our brain. Lehaskil. Lehaskil doesn't just mean we have a brain that when we need to think, we have a machine that helps us think. Doesn't just mean that. Lehaskil means that we have the capability of our sechel leading the way of our lives. Lehavin means we understand, but understanding isn't enough. Because a person could understand, like so many times in life, we understand we shouldn't talk that way. We understand we shouldn't feel this way. We understand we shouldn't do that. We understand. You know how many times in life we've been told something about something we shouldn't have done? And we understand. We get it. We understand what we shouldn't be drinking alcohol the way we do. We understand we shouldn't be taking drugs. We understand we shouldn't be smoking. You don't think every guy who smokes understands he really shouldn't do that? Come on, don't you know that that's not a good thing? Of course he understands. We understand we shouldn't be angry. We understand that we shouldn't behave that way with our spouse. We understand we shouldn't feel down when we have so much to be thankful for. You know how many times people are down and someone comes and says with a big haydush, do you know how much you have? You want to strangle that guy. Not only does he not appreciate that you're down, but he also wants to make a fool of you. Like you're ignorant for all the good things that God gave you. We understand how much we have. Yes, we do. But we're still down. We understand we shouldn't talk that way. But we still do. You know how many things in life, me and you right now, or anyone listening, can say, I understand, but I still don't do it, or I still do it wrong. Lehavin is a beautiful step. It's a necessary step. If you don't understand, then you can't even get to first base. But understanding doesn't really make us human. It's only the beginning. Person goes to shiur, he goes to class. He learns. He understands. You know how many times a person feels accomplished? Because they understand, they walk out of a class and they say, oh, that was great. I feel uplifted. I feel great. I'm growing. But you know, you have to know that lehavin is a necessary great step. But if you stop there, it's like going on the ladder and stopping in the middle. Imagine a guy in the middle of the ladder says, this is so great how I went up the ladder. But you're not going anywhere. You're just on the ladder. You're climbing the steps, but you don't get to the second floor. You didn't do anything. You're doing something necessary, but you haven't reached the purpose. Lehavin is what makes us human, but it's only a half part of what makes us human. Understanding is not enough. And the proof is in every single one of our lives. And go out there in the street and you'll see all the misery and all the miserable people, whether they're miserable all the time or some of the time. And I'm telling you, 95% of the time, safe, they know better than to feel that way, than to do that. So they have lehavin, simple enough. But they're missing something, it's called lehaskil. Lehaskil means that at some point in a successful person's life, they need to make a choice. It's a big choice that most humans never either think about or never decide. And there has to come a moment for every great person to make this choice. It could come at the age of 13, or the age of 30, or even 90. A person must make this decision. It's a very critical decision. Forget now the mitzvot, forget now Torah, forget everything. Forget all the lehavins of life, forget that. The decision is a very simple decision. When you make decisions in life, whether they be social decisions, whether they're financial decisions, family decisions, future decisions, religious decisions, gotta make one simple point clear. How do you make a decision in life every single point of the way? Very simple. Do you decide based on your sechel? Do you let your mind lead? Or do you let your feelings lead your life? It's very simple formula. Hashem created us with feelings. We just feel things. Where we got those feelings is not the subject of today's class. It could be we got them from our upbringing. It could be their habits. It could be we got them through our birth as a person, we're born. And some people are born, for example, more hot-headed than others. They didn't pick it up from their parents, per se. Sometimes two children, the same family, one is calm and one is hot-headed. Hashem made them that way. Sometimes it's from birth. Sometimes it's from your home. Sometimes it's from your environment. Sometimes it's picked up by choice, and usually it's something that just grows on you. But bottom line is we have feelings about almost everything in life. Ask someone, do you want to go here? The first thing they're thinking about is their feeling. Well, do I feel like I want to go? Tell your son, could you get me something from the store around the corner? What's the first thing he's thinking? Do I want to go? Easy, simple. In every decision in life, when someone is put in that spot, usually humans, even though they have lehavim, even though they understand, but what leads their lives and what leads every decision of their life is their feeling. Now, some of their feelings are pretty good. For example, when they grew up with Shabbat. So Shabbat became part of what they want to do. So they feel Shabbat is a good thing. So that's why they keep Shabbat. But not everything about Shabbat they keep. They keep only the things that they either learned to keep when they were younger or connect to, because they go with feelings. They feel Shabbat is good for this, but not necessarily for that. You'll find many people who keep Shabbat religiously, but certain things about Shabbat they completely ignore. And if you would tell them about it, they almost will laugh at you. Not in a demeaning way. Just like, what are you talking about? What's going on with that person? Very simple. Their Shabbat comes from their feelings that they receive from their parents, from their community, from their surroundings. Things they connect to, that's what they do. So even their religious observance at some point becomes what they want. They lead with their emotions. You ask somebody, you know, why did you talk like that? That was such anger. So basically they say, usually, you know what they did? You know what they said to me? What are they saying? What they're saying is, you understand that something caused me to feel this way, and that's why I reacted that way. Lehaskil is a whole different life that most people never reach, and most people, I can say in our time, don't even dream to reach. Which is a whole change of format. It's like you have to reformat the computer. Sometimes the computer is so sick. There's too many things to fix. So you just gotta wipe everything out and start again. This is the type of thing you have to do for this area. It's a whole reconfiguration of the human, because every decision he makes, or he's made since he was born, usually, I don't want to say every decision, but usually the forefront is what I want. The sechel, what I understand, usually is not in the front. For some people, they're lucky if it's somewhere in the back, which means my mother says, do me a favor, could you drive me somewhere? My first reaction is, I don't want. And then I remember that really, I should. So I gather the strength to go even though I don't want. So some people reach that their lehavin comes right behind their lehavin, their brain gets them to go behind their feelings. Meaning they feel something. After that, they start thinking about what's right, and sometimes they're even able to control themselves. Meaning, I really want to do this on Shabbat. About to do it, no, wait. I know Leavin, I know better. I'm not supposed to do that. Okay, I'm going to gather the strength, and I'm not going to do it. I really don't want to go learn right now. But Leavin, you know what? I know I should, so I'm going to push myself. That's still not where we need to be. Most people don't even get to that in most situations. And some do get to this level I just said. It's a very nice level where you have your feelings go first. And then afterwards, you battle with your lehavin. You battle with what you know better. And sometimes you even win, meaning your lehavin wins. And sometimes you lose. So again, so far we described two types of people. One type of person is just going with his feelings. Like a person once told me, I told you before, he told me he has a great motto for life. What's your motto, sir? He's 75 years old. What's your motto? My motto is, any decision I make, I always go with my heart. This was supposed to be a statement of great significance and great wisdom. It is obviously the most ridiculous kind of comment you could make. Person cannot go with his heart. Heart is unreliable. The heart's important, but it's not reliable. Can't lead. It's got to go second. So there are people, number one category, they just go with their heart. That's how they live their life. You ask them to do something, the first thing they think about is, what do I want to do? Want to call me on vacation? Let me see. Do I want to go? Yes or no? Done. Let's do this. What do I want to do? That's category A. That's called led by your feelings. That's the way we all were born. It's the way we grew up. You're not a bad person if you start that way. Then you have a guy who continues that path, but infuses Lehavin somewhere after he decides what he wants. He has another voice calling out, saying, but wait. Come on. Don't you know better? Didn't you learn? That's category number two. This kind of guy, you'll see him make a lot of good decisions. You'll see him struggle. You'll see him in the morning tell you, oh, it was very hard. It's very hard to do this, but I did it. It's very difficult to get. I did it. Very hard for me to keep Shabbat, but I did it. It was very hard for me to help that person, but I did it. It was very hard for me to resist eating that, but I did it. It's a very good level, the second guy. It's not a bad guy. That's Lehavin that comes after deciding what you want. And then you got the guy that we're looking to become. If you want to be authentic in our approach to Torah, we need to strive for something much bigger than that, which is the message of this pasuk. Like Rashi says, Lehavim, you got to know what's right, got to understand what's right. And everything in life, every area of life, you have to understand what's going to make you successful. Everything. The religious, the mundane, the relationship, the marriage, the children, everything. You have to be a person who's mevin. That's number one. But you got to understand something. That you need to transform yourself into a different kind of decision maker. You need to graduate. It's not overnight that you do it, but it needs to be a goal. That going forward, your decisions are not going to be based on what you want. That when a question comes up, the first question you ask isn't, what do I want to do? That's not the ultimate. The Adam, the ultimate is that when a question comes up, right away the sechel comes. Right away the question is this good for me? Is this the right thing to do? Is this emet? Before I even bother with, do I want to go? I don't want to go. I want to eat. I don't want to eat. That's not the human of the highest caliber. The human of the highest caliber has a whole different way of thinking. Everything that comes into his life, the first question is this the right thing to do? My mother asked me to go get her something. First question I ask, is that what I should do right now? Oh, my father also asked me, what should I do? My mother goes first. My father goes first. My rabbi also asked me, oh, I was learning. Should I get up? What's the right not? Do I want to stop learning so I help my mother? I don't know. What's the emet? Should I close the book, help my mother? Or should I continue learning and ignore my mother? What's the right thing to do? My dear friends, this is a whole new person. It's a new Bri'ah. This is completely different than the animal kingdom. This is what makes us totally different. Animals also have lehavin. They also know certain things that are good for them. They understand. A fish understands it shouldn't go out of the water. The dolphin only jumps back in the water. He's not jumping on the dry land. He understands. Lehavin. He gets it. Cows know not to eat meat. They don't eat steak. They know not to drink alcohol. Put alcohol, the best bottle of wine, in front of a cow. Not drinking it. Even if it's unhappy that day. Lehavin. Animals also understand things. What makes us human is lehaskil. You see, humans have the ability before every step of life to ask, what's the emet? Animals, they only decide by their feelings. Some of their feelings are programmed with lehavin, with understanding. But it's all about the way they feel. What makes a human special is that he graduates, he starts his life not this way. And the goal is that every decision of life should be a decision of what is the emet? What's the right thing to do? In everything. Is it the right thing to help this person? Is it the right thing to help that person? Should I help both people? How do I make my decision? How do I give charity? How do I honor my parents? You know, most people, they read, Kabed et avicha ve'et imecha. Honor your father and mother. Done. They already got educated. You have to honor your father and mother. But how? Well, I feel that this is the way to do it. It doesn't go with feelings. There's something called emet. There's something called the truth. And the truth has no other competitor. It's only one. What is the right way to honor your father and mother? What is the right way to treat your wife? There are no two ways. It's not a feeling thing. There are rules. Of course, again, feelings are important, but they have to come second, not first. Lehavin ulhaskil. Lehaskil means leading your life with questions of emet. You know how many alcoholics we would have saved had they been to this class? How many alcoholics you think we would have saved if we had taught them when they became bar mitzvah that they should be a lehaskil person? They don't have to be Jewish. You'd be goyim too. Lehaskil. A goy also has to live with certain principles. How many alcoholics do you think we would have saved if they understood this principle? My bet says all of them. 100%. That's what my bet says. Now 199. How many drug addicts could have been saved had they known this principle? 99%. How many marriages could have been saved had people lived by this principle? My bet is almost everyone. Any issue in life, anyone, would have been saved had people understood that decisions in life cannot be made by your feelings. They have to be made by the emet. Leading with sechel means asking first, what is the right thing to do? It's a very big step. It's a very big change from the way we've been living. Again, it's not our fault. We've been born into a world. You ask a two-year-old, do you want this? He's either going to say yes or no. And he's consulting only what he wants. That's the way we all live for 13 years without a question. But at some point, there has to be this crossover. That crossover makes us really human on the highest level. And once a person has lehavin ul haskil, imagine that we would be such a person. Imagine that we were able to get to that point. If we were successful in having this change of mind, try today, you'll see yourself, catch yourself a few times. Because decisions are made all the time. All the time. Guy walks by you. Usually, you say, well, do I want to say hello to him? Am I in the mood to say hello to him? Do I even like the guy? Do I even care? Those are the things that go through your mind in a split second. Guy's walking next to you. But no, that can't be the decision anymore. Question is, what's the right thing to do? Doesn't matter what you feel. I'm not in the mood, who cares? People in America, the I'm not in the mood line is an exemption for almost anything. Did you help your mother? Not in the mood. Not in the mood becomes a reason to quit your job, even though it's a very good job. Just don't like it. Not so into it. But it's paying your bills. It's your future. I don't connect to it. In our world today, it's just a sick world that anything that you don't connect to becomes a reason to be not part of your life. I don't feel the relationship anymore. But you're married for 40 years. Does that mean you don't feel the relationship anymore? So many things are done in that way. Once a person has graduated to be lehavinu laskil, something awesome happens. Something awesome happens. Is they feel lost. They feel lost. It's awesome. If you got to that point where you feel lost, you know you just became a human. Because most people in life don't feel lost, and they're as lost as can be. If there would be a lost and found on humans, it would occupy most of the planet. You wanna work it? Yeah. But the amazing thing about it is that nobody thinks they're lost. Talk to a guy who's lost, in his mind, he's the most found guy on planet Earth. I'm lost. Talk to a guy that you know, in your level, guaranteed he's lost as can be. Talk to him, I give you a guarantee. In his mind, interview him. He doesn't feel lost. He may have some issues here and there. When a human feels lost, it's a great gift. Because it means he's leading with emet. And since he's deciding what's emet, he doesn't know the emet. So he feels lost. And he needs a way to find out what's the emet. You see, a person who goes with feelings is never lost. Because you always have feelings. You have feelings about everything, everyone, every situation. You're never lost in the world of feelings. Because feelings are active in every place and every way. So you never feel like you need something, you're lost. No, not lost. But once your sechel is leading the way, and every decision is based on what's the right thing to do, what's the emet? Oh, what's the emet? You know, the answer to that question very often is going to be, I don't know. What is the emet? I don't know. I feel lost. And once you've reached that point, comes the Torah to answer all your questions. You know, unfortunately in life, we open the Torah before these steps that I just said. They give us the book of Torah, we're learning. But if it was given over in the proper order, Torah is supposed to be given to a guy who's hungry for emet. This book is coming to answer a question. Which question? Every question. It's coming to answer every single situation of your life. Because if you're asking, what's the emet? Well, how are you supposed to know what the emet is? Only the Creator who created the world knows the emet. But if you come to this Torah and you don't have these questions, it's just a nice book to read and learn. It's very nice. It helps me understand things. I like it. I enjoy it. I made some changes. Okay, good. Beautiful. It's nice. It's valuable. But you're not getting the full understanding. This book needs to be opened by Tzelem Elohim. You have to first be the image of God before you open this book. If you really want to maximize your effort and maximize the benefits, you have to be asking yourself all these questions. And at what point you're going to realize, I really don't know. So I'm lost. And then you open the Torah and all of a sudden you start finding every answer to every question. There isn't a thing in life that the Torah doesn't have what to say. How do you deal with someone who's doing the wrong thing? Torah says how to do it. How to deal with someone who's embarrassing you? We have rules. How to deal with every life situation, the happiest, the saddest, the most difficult, the easiest. Every life situation, there isn't one that's not found somewhere here. And all of a sudden, if you're the Lehavin, Lehaskil Jew, you open the Torah, you can't believe your eyes. You found diamonds, you found gold, you found life itself. You didn't find something worth life. You found life itself. You found it. Here it is. Oh, that's what you're supposed to be doing. I didn't know. In every area, it's tremendous. Gemara says, in Masechet Sota, Ahare Hashem Elohechem Telechu, you should follow God. What does that mean, follow God? It means when you see something that He does, then you know that's Emet. That's why you want to follow Him. Gemara says, like what? Gemara says, if you see in the Torah that He made clothing for Adam and Hava, so now you know that if people need clothing, you should do that. Now again, maybe me and you would have said, but when people need clothing, I feel like I should give them. Don't you feel like you should give people clothing if they don't have clothing? But the Torah says, no, it's not like that. It's a feelings Jew. You know why we give people clothing? Because that's the emet. How do I know it's the emet? Because I found it here. Gemara says, oh, not Hashem biker holim. He went to visit sick people. Oh, but it's, what do you mean? Someone's sick. Don't you like naturally go to visit him? Like, don't you feel like you should go visit him? No. It doesn't work like that. That's the emet. You need to go visit him. Let's say you didn't feel like visiting him. It doesn't matter. You know how I know it's the emet? Because Hashem biker holim. Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nihem Avelim. Hashem went to console the mourners. What? Console the mourners? If someone's in mourning, you don't think it's the right thing to go and visit them? Like, don't you feel that way? Does it work like that? It's not the way life works. Not this kind of life. Consoling mourners is emet. You know how many times a guy says, you know, I'm not in the mood to go. I'm not so close to them anyway. Was that decision really made based on emet? Or based by your feelings? Be honest. Guy's got a wedding. He said, nah, I don't know if I really need to go. There's so many people going anyway. And he didn't come to my wedding. But wait, maybe he was away. What was that decision based on? You see, when you decide on feelings, you basically, even when you do good, it's up to you. And then very often you don't do it. It's amazing, by the way, that this Gemara gives examples of kindness. It doesn't just say, do kindness. You could have just said, you know, God does kindness, you do kindness. And it gives you very specific detail, what's called kindness. Because not everything people do that's kindness is kindness. Not every imaginary thing you imagine is called a good thing. So many people have good intentions. They do good things, but who told them that's good? Who decided that? Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kavar metim. He went and he buried Moshe Rabbeinu. Oh, so we learn from there that burying someone is a great, great act of truth. What if a guy says, nah, I don't know. I'm not so into dead people. It's not my thing. Not my thing. The guy's sitting, he needs to be buried. No, let someone else do it. It's not about that. Your whole mindset's off. This is the emet. Notice, by the way, so interesting. The Gemara in Sotah says, Darash Rabbi Simlai. Rabbi Simlai taught the following. I'm going to end with this. Says Rabbi Simlai, Torah, if you open the Torah, Tehilata, the beginning, Gemilut Hasadim, you'll find it's talking about kindness. Right in the beginning. And so far, and the end of the Torah also talks about kindness. Nice. The beginning, end of end, kindness. Shows you this book is all about kindness. Now, he says, Dechtiv, where do we see in the beginning the Torah gives kindness? Says the Pasuk, this week's parasha. Ve'ya'as Hashem Elokim, Hashem, God, made for Adam and his wife clothing. So we see Hashem, this parasha, kindness. Hashem Elokim made clothing for them. Where do we see in the end of the Torah kindness? It says, Vayikvor oto v'gai, and he buried him in a place called Gai. One great rabbi asked, what's Rabbi Simlai coming to teach us? We know the beginning is kindness. Open the Torah, you'll find it. In the end, you also find it. He's a beautiful answer. He says, from the Torah, not only you know what to do, but you also know how to do it. What does that mean? Notice that in the beginning of the Torah, when he made clothing for Adam and Hava, the Pasuk says, who made it? Hashem Elokim, Hashem God, his name and his description. But when he buried Moshe, what does it say? Vayikbor oto bagai. There's no Hashem, no Elokim. Anonymous, Vayikbor, and he buried him in Gai. What happened to Hashem? What happened to Elokim? Why one place? When he does kindness, it says Hashem Elokim. And one place, it says, Vayikvor, without anonymously. Ah.
Says Rabbi Simlai.
And not only do we learn from Hashem that we should do kindness, but we have to learn from him how to do it. You see, sometimes when you do kindness, it should be anonymous. Vayikvor oto bagai. No declarations, no name, no plaque, no nothing. Vayikvor oto, he buried him. In life, you do kindness, you don't need to have people know about it. Do so much and say little. That's the way to do kindness. Oh, at the beginning of the Torah, when Adam and Hava messed up, and Hashem was upset with them, quote unquote, Hashem could have left them clothing on the side bench. But he didn't. Vayas Hashem Elohim. Hashem wanted to make it clear to Adam and Hava that he's giving them the clothing. You know why? Because in that situation, giving anonymously isn't complete. Because in that situation, you want them to know that I love you. So I'm not just giving you clothing. I want you to know I'm giving you clothing. Because part of the chesed in that situation is to make them feel loved when they feel down and separated. To learn not only what is chesed, but to learn how to do it. Torah opens with chesed and ends with chesed. And pay attention to both, because they're not the same. Every word of Torah is another emet. And to the Tzelem Elokim, who's lehavinu l'haskil, it's the greatest wealth in the world. What could be better than life that gives you every single moment of how to make emet decisions? If you're looking for emet, there's no greater wealth than this Torah that Hashem gave us. And that is the mindset of the person who comes in to the world of Torah. If you have such a mindset, so fortunate we are. If this is the mindset that we come in, as we learn, as we change the way we make decisions, by next Simchat Torah, we will be flying somewhere in Shamayim. Because we can't believe what this Torah has made in our life, what difference it has made, what a change it has made, what beauty it has brought. It has literally given us the ability to make every good and proper choice in life.